Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications Headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right, how's it going, gentlemen? Welcome again to yet another episode of the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. My name is Scott McKay, at Scott McKay on Twitter and on Clubhouse. Real Scott McKay on Instagram. You can find me on YouTube by searching Scott McKay. Mountaintoppodcast.com is the website URL, and the Facebook group is the Mountaintop Summit, where you'll find a whole dog pile of men who are interested in having better relationships with women and really just have a sense of humor, having a lot of fun up there. So you should join us on Facebook at the Mountaintop Summit. With me today is a new acquaintance of mine. And I'll tell you what, she has a very interesting gig that she's got going on. You and I are going to find out about it together. And it's called Mind Sex Mastery. Her name is Delora Guignon. She is from Ottawa, Canada, hence the Frenchy sounding last name, which I love. And we're going to talk all about mind sex. And I got to give you guys a fair warning up front. It's probably not going to be what you think it is. And like I said, we're going to figure all this out together, courtesy of our expert guest. Delora, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
I'm not going to bore you with the weather today here in Texas in late January, but I got to know, what's the temperature up in Ottawa today?
Well, I can only give it to you in Celsius, but it's minus 16 today.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, it is pretty cold. Yeah. I moved out of my slides into actual shoes now, sadly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would probably be in carbon encasement until spring, hibernating like Han Solo.
That's funny. Yeah. We're pretty used to it up here, but.
Yeah, I hear in climates like that, the kids just still go out to the bus stop and ride their bikes on the street and whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's not even, and we've barely had any snow this year. It's kind of odd, actually.
Well, I'm thinking mind sex is a largely indoor activity anyway, lest we get arrested.
It is.
For public indecency. Yeah.
So. Yeah, we try to avoid that, but you know, I understand sometimes you just got to do it.
Oh, boy. Now I'm more intrigued than ever. What is this mind sex thing in terms of how you're presenting it and how you're coaching people on it, Delora?
Yeah, so this is something that I get asked a lot, but it is this combination of mindset and sexual energy. Now, what people don't really realize is that sexual energy is our most powerful physical energy. It's also our creative energy and our charismatic energy, but even more powerful than that, it's how Elon Musk became the richest man in the world.
Because he's so sexy?
No, I know. You would think that's why. He is sexy now, a lot sexier now that he has all that money, I would say.
You know, being worth $200 billion makes you really sexually attractive to a certain kind of woman,
doesn't
it? Yeah, no
kidding. Yeah, no, it's about the more life energy. So more life as in making babies, the quite literal way of looking at it. But it's also more ideas, more expansion, more experiences. It's why we're never satisfied, which is a good thing. But, you know, a lot of us have learned to suppress it or kill it or deny it's even there.
Oh, man, you're going to take off on a tangent that's exactly the opposite of one of my recent guests. I mean, he was the author of a book called Never Enough Itis. Oh. And his theorem, which he defended rather effectively and convincingly on this show, was too many men out there are never satisfied. Exactly what you just said. They're trying to reap more wealth, do bigger and better things, more and more and more all the time. And now here you come along, Delora, and you're saying, hey, you know what? This whole idea of never being satisfied, if I'm understanding correctly, is a function of our natural sexual energy.
That is precisely it. Now, that doesn't mean you get full license to go all out on everything. Like, you know, we want to keep it inside where we can.
You might get arrested for that otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, what happens is when, you know, what he's talking about there is you're staying at the superficial level of the sexual energy. But I'm sure you've heard of the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, the famous business book from 1937. He interviewed 500 businessmen. And one of the chapters is called The Mystery of Sexual Transmutation. So what I do is I help people take that chapter, but to an actual level.
That just removes all horniness from the conversation when you use such techie terms, right? Yeah, 1930s exactly. Of him.
Well, yeah, I know, right? And he couldn't even, the way, if you read the chapter too, it would make you less horny too, because it tells, like, it sounds like you have to repress it and it's not polite. Nah. It's just because he didn't want to be put in the porn section. So really, he was a horny man too. Don't worry.
Yeah, I think a lot of people nowadays think that sex was something that was invented around 1969.
Yeah.
You know, well, before that, it just didn't exist, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Sometime around Woodstock was the big unveiling, you know.
Yeah, like
people all right, so before. It's before my time too, and I'm not even a spring chicken anymore. Yeah. So yeah, what a great, wonderful turn of events that you and I have both been able to live our lives after sex was invented.
Yeah, I probably would have been burned at the stake, I'm sure of it. So I'm glad here.
Well, I'm glad you're here unscathed for us to continue this conversation aloud in our out loud voices. Yeah.
Yeah.
I may yet be canceled for other things that, according to the news media nowadays, are even worse than sex, but I digress. We're not going to cover any of that on today's show. All right. Okay. So I love this concept of how our sexual energy really kind of governs the rest of our being. And, you know, it makes sense because without sex, there aren't any babies. And without any babies, there isn't a human race 100 years from now or less. So right. Sex really is this all-powerful universal phenomenon. And, you know, one of the things that I get, I don't know, it brings some controversy. I kind of get ribbed a little bit for is talking at times about how I think there's something afoot that's causing us to have less sex, make fewer babies, and lower the birth rate, you know? Mm-hmm. And yet, no matter how you slice it, if you're trying to say that heterosexuality is something that is either wrong or should be suppressed or isn't going to happen anymore, you are fighting a tidal wave of exactly that force you're talking about that is directly responsible for the continuation of the human race. So it's just never going to go away. And here you come along, Dolores, saying, hey, why don't we embrace it? See it for what it is, not only just, you know, doing the wild thing, the obvious bits and pieces of it, right? No pun intended.
Yeah.
The naughty bits and pieces of it.
The delicious bits and pieces of it.
As they say in the UK, right?
Yeah.
And look at how it's a more psychosexual phenomenon, how it's affecting how we do business, how we relate with other people, even our very well-being itself. So tell me more about this relationship between our sexual energy and, frankly, the rest of our psychology, especially as you like to talk about so much, I noticed. The psychology of success in business.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing how that's all interrelated. So just go ahead and riff on it, Dolore.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, this is, you know, I could talk about this all day. So I'm so glad to be here to share this with you guys. But, you know, it's really, if you think about it, if you strip back the word sex from it and just look at it from a pure energy perspective, which I know is not as sexy as keeping the word sex there, but it's the driving force.
Well, the stripping part was enough to carry this conversation right there.
Yeah. Okay, good. So it's the driving force and it's going to make you want to go for more. It's where the big crazy ideas that people get, it's where Tesla came from. He had this crazy idea. And even though he was told that there was an 80% chance of not succeeding, Musk went ahead anyway, and he did it. And he keeps innovating and coming up with different ideas. It's from this sexual energy. If you just Google Elon Musk Rolling Stones interview, it's from a few years ago, and he talks about a breakup with his girlfriend at the time and how he almost, Tesla 2 almost didn't get launched because he was so upset about the breakup. It directly impacted him being able to get on stage with charisma, which is part of the energy, and to sell his investors or however those things work and bring in more people into the Tesla world and launch the Tesla 2. He talks about it in the interview. So this energy, when it's affected, when it's suppressed, when it's out of control, like if you're sabotaging your, you know, either your current relationship and or your business or your job because you're sneaking out to have sex with the, I don't know, the girl that you met on the coffee shop this morning, then it is driving you. So there's, you know, you can have too much and it can be out of control, or you can have it completely suppressed and, you know, be like a limp noodle walking around.
Man, we wouldn't want that.
No. And if you have a limp noodle, I can help with that.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's another podcast for another day, I believe.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, man, the sexual innuendos are going to abound here, you know.
Yes, good.
And I'm not even going to try to avoid them. How's that? But as I've said on this show before, when we had such topics with guests of the female persuasion, I'm just going to ignore them as they come up. I'll let you chuckle to yourselves over there on the other side of podcast land freely. Okay.
I love it.
All right. So this energy that you're talking about, First of all, if you met a woman on the coffee shop instead of in the coffee shop, that already sounds kinky.
Right. That's I never intriguing. Even thought that. Good catch.
In and of itself, yeah.
You know.
All right. So Elon Musk, I think if any of us knew his secrets to that, we'd all be worth $200 billion, you know. So yeah. Obviously he's got a secret sauce there. Here we go.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I would love for you to elaborate a little bit about what this specific power looks like, this sexual energy, because a lot of guys, you know, are here along with me wondering aloud after you just described what this phenomenon is. You know, what's the difference between this and just being pissed off or being preoccupied or, yeah, you know, I went through a breakup. My girlfriend said something that really disturbed me. And of course, I'm going to be a little distracted and, well, off for the rest of the day. Or, you know, if I'm feeling masculine and I'm feeling powerful, maybe I'll speak with more confidence to that room full of potential investors today, et cetera, et cetera. But how do I recognize the sexual angle here in terms of what that energy looks like?
Yeah. So if you're talking about in a relationship or even in a room, you want a polarization, right? You need people to listen to what you're saying. And if you're just, you know, in a monotone voice like this, nobody gives a shit what you're going to say. They're going to tune out. They're going to yawn. They're going to wish they had got the coffee instead of the chick at the coffee shop so that they can stay awake through your presentation. But it's even if you're in a room full of men, it's not that you're trying to turn them on, so to speak, but you want to capture their imagination, which is their creative energy, their sexual energy. And you want to get them, you know, like think about when you're going to go to a football game. If you're going with a bunch of buddies, you guys are all pumped up about the team. Well, that is like pumping up that energy. You're going to get excited about it. And you guys are going to come up with some pretty wild ideas if you talk about, you know, money or business or life at all. That is all part of that energy. It's the same as when a music artist locks himself or herself into, you know, in a music studio and doesn't come out for a few days. They're scared to lose the flow of that energy. Well, that's the same energy they're using. And the sexual side is about being able to stoke that in yourself. So it doesn't mean you have to go around and have a bunch of sex, so to speak. But you may need to look at, you know, what is it? When was the last time I was turned on? You know, when was the last time that I connected with my partner? And if you don't have a partner, when was the last time I, you know, went after one when I, you know, flirted and had a conversation with it? It just kind of stokes it a little bit.
So let me throw a wrench in the works here. Mm-hmm. Can I then therefore extrapolate that, say, Ferris Bueller's teacher was bad in bed? You know, the Bueller monotone guy. Bueller.
Yeah.
Is that guy bad in bed? Is that how this relationship between outward energy, socially, you know, when presenting oneself and sexual energy is literally joined at the hip?
Yeah.
Am I onto something?
Yeah, you absolutely are. And it's not always like, you know, line for line. There are times where you're going to find complete opposites. Now, that's not very often.
Would you say it's pound for pound?
Yeah, that would be good if you could pound for a pound. Not everybody can take a pounding, but for those that can, yes, it's a pound for pound. It is something that if you are not showing up with any kind of, you know, excitement or charisma, the chances are you don't have that at home either, or you don't have that in the bedroom. You don't even have that with your buddies, or, you know, that's just how you're living. But you have to get that kind of polarity in your life somehow. And, you know, even when I studied Einstein, like, he was a funny guy. He, you know, used to crack jokes. He wasn't all serious. And people only know, well, I guess they don't only know, but, you know, we think of him as all pure brains, but he had a really great sense of humor. That's all part of that. That's the creative energy part of it.
Oh boy, are you going down a dangerous path right now. Do you know how many people who are political partisans have absolutely no sense of humor and are so easily offended and everything is so gunfighter serious all the time? Are you saying all those people just really need to get in touch with their sexual energy?
I'm saying they need to get laid.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, they need to get laid.
You're like my new best friend.
Yeah, no, I, you know, I can say it with humor, but like seriously,
platonically, of course.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But they absolutely need to get laid. I have this party trick where I can go in a room and I can observe who's having great sex and who's not. Now, obviously, unless I go talk to everybody that I make that joke about, I've never been proven wrong yet, but within three questions, I can assess whether someone's having good sex or not. And it's usually, I'm 100% right now, and I've done it probably, I don't know, 100, 150 times. It's a fun, fun party trick that I do, but it's easy to tell. You just have to observe body language. You can just, like, I feel it through energy because I'm an empath, but that's a different discussion altogether.
Well, hold on a second. Okay. Before we go into something else here, because I sense you shifting gears on me. Is this something you just observe and kind of intuit, or what's up with the three questions?
Well, the three questions just helps me to get more precise on what it is. So, for example,
you've got to ask me these three questions and evaluate.
Well, it depends. Yeah, it depends on the conversation. It depends.
Oh,
on
so there's not three set questions.
No. Oh. No, it all depends on what we're talking about. And, you know, sometimes I'll go towards the business and you can tell me about your business and I can tell you, you know, how good your sex life is. Or I get people, my favorite thing to do is to help people, and anybody listening, you guys can do that. If you have a favorite sexual experience, even if it's not with your current partner, think about that favorite sexual experience. Think about all the details you can and write down three words to describe it. And then ask yourself, why was that your favorite sexual experience? From those three words, that's how you can improve your business and or your job performance or even your personal life. So if it's things like it was exciting, it was fulfilling, I got off right away, like whatever those words are, you need to have some element of that in your business or your job. And if you don't, then you're going to be bored as fuck.
I'm sorry. Are you still here? I was just off daydreaming. No, I'm serious. I got off really fast is one real long word, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, right?
Well, you know,
I got off real fast. It's like, yeah, you sound it.
Yeah, we have to make it maybe a little less complicated for your partner.
Yeah, like horny chihuahuas and jackrabbits are both decidedly lacking in exactly the kind of energy you're talking about, huh?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, as the most interesting man in the world in the Dos Equis commercials once commented with regard to speed dating is most women wouldn't consider speed a virtue.
Mm.
Right.
That is exactly it.
Does that have anything to do with what you're talking about? I mean, if guys are like trying to get rich quick, you know, like Homer Simpson all the time.
Yeah.
That's a lack of sexual energy.
Yeah, that's the superficial level of it. You know, you can get rich quick and you can convince. It's the snake oil salesman. So it's the one that's a little bit out of control with his sex energy. So you'll get a lot of money. You'll get a lot of attention when you go in a room. But people are going to be like, for some reason, I don't trust him. And he might seem like the popular guy, but he always has a new woman. And that's not really the kind of satisfaction that you can get. Now, some people don't want to be in one relationship. So I'm not suggesting you have to be. But if you don't own the energy, it owns you.
Okay, now that is hugely significant to this audience because you just caught lightning in a bottle. Essentially, you just described the entire pickup artist movement from the late aughts.
Mm-hmm.
You hear get laid quick.
Yeah.
Kind of in the same context you'd hear get rich quick.
Right.
And that's a perversion of that energy's purpose in exactly the same way in both contexts now, isn't it? I mean, they're basically the same thing. The guys who would want to get rich quick are pretty much the same guys who probably would like to get laid quick. And you kind of wag your finger and go, no, that's not how that works. That's where you come in, right?
Yes, exactly. That's
See how well this is working out already? Tell me more.
Yeah, exactly. You know, anything that's, you know, I love a quickie. I really do. But that's not
in the right context. I mean, yes, quickie isn't how it all starts, I hope.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if it's on the coffee shop. But it's not going to be the truly satisfying connection that even a man needs. Like, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, guys, it's just about getting off. For many men, it's not actually. They have a lot of pressure on them, first of all, to perform. And it's obvious when you're not able to. But it's also about, you know, as many men as I've worked with, they all want the satisfaction of their partner. But how many people have been taught how to do that? Not many. And then when we talk about the get rich, it's because they're looking at the superficial level of what that money is going to give them. Same thing as, you know, it feels good to pump, like to pump chump. It feels good in the moment. But then afterwards, you're like,
speak for yourself.
Yeah. It feels like
I don't want to be a too pumped chump. I want, you know, a little bit of lasting satisfaction.
Yes. And I'll tell you, the men that put the effort in, you're talked about like a legend. Like it's not the get quick guy, you know, it's like, oh my God, he was so good. And he, you know,
how do you think I got here, Delora?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a conversation killer now, wasn't it? Anyway, I love what you're talking about in all seriousness, or halfway seriousness.
Halfway.
It's just too much fun of a conversation to make serious. I wouldn't dare do that to you, nor would I do that to anybody who wrote books about how to get rich in the 30s. I wouldn't impose any of that on anybody. But this whole idea of men wanting to get rich because they want a new car, or they want to buy more, or just compile massive amounts of personal gain. Again, there is a sexual parallel there.
Yeah.
Guys who are just wanting to bang chicks and get off are not going to get a whole lot of satisfaction. So when you have a guy who understands foreplay and mental foreplay, making a woman really want him.
Yeah.
And how, you know, use the word delicious. You know, you remind me of Alana Pratt. She loves that word. I don't know if you know Alana. She's precious.
No, I don't.
I'll have to introduce you. But Alana loves to talk about sex and dating in terms of just this divine energy, you know, so she's just a blast. This delicious anticipation of just making a woman wet all day long and making her wait for it and being a man and leading and, you know, having her just be so into you by the time it happens is just anathema to these pickup artists, get laid quick guys who talk about compliance in a woman. I mean, out loud, in their out loud voice, okay, for everyone to hear, they betray how bad they are with women and even teach other guys how to be terrible with women in the exact same way by saying, hey, here's how to build compliance. And I can't count how many times I've ever been on stage or on a podcast or on some kind of online panel with a bunch of other dating coaches. And I'll say, you know, I don't know about all this compliance stuff. I want a willing woman.
Yes.
And then, okay, you come along with this increasingly apparently brilliant thing about mind sex mastery, by the way. I'm really getting into this. You're winning me over. And you talk about how guys feel this way towards their job and their purpose and their wealth and money and stuff too. And so the money sex thing, and I would assume personal power thing, probably is also interrelated to this. I mean, guys, you know, tangentially, guys who want to be powerful so they can be a big shot are very different than guys who want to be powerful because they'd like to really honestly leave the world a better place by using that power effectively. Guys who are trying to get rich quick for their own gain so they can buy cars and impress the chicks or get a big house or whatever, you know, what they do is they get a big house, get a big car, get a new stereo system, and sit inside the house and go, my God, I'm lonely.
Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, the guys who understand purpose and legacy and being a provider and a protector say, you know, I'm going to not only make a good living, but I'm going to build wealth so that my family and my kids and the people around me are taken care of. And so the charitable causes that are near and dear to my heart are funded. I'm going to be a force for greater good in this world because I have the ability to generate wealth. What an obviously different mindset from the selfishness, from the internal thinking of just simply being greedy, frankly. And then you go ahead and reflect that back onto sexual relationship. And here you have a man who indeed is wealthy in the bedroom because he understands that if he titillates a woman first, mentally, sexually, physically, emotionally, and satisfies her in every sense, that woman will be incredibly pleased to return the favor, you know, to put it in the shortest number of words possible. That's powerful. How come we don't talk about this stuff more, Delora? I'm glad you came along. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad I'm here. You know, that's exactly what it is. And it, you know, it's great to want to get rich quick and it's money is fabulous. But
and so is sex.
So it's well, sex is really fabulous. And if it's not, well, you need to work on that. But
if money isn't fabulous, you need to work on that.
Yeah. You know, it sounds good in the bank account. It's fun to see a bunch of zeros after whatever number, right? And it's great to say, well, you know, I had that really great looking woman the other night. But if she's not wanting to see you again, or you have to go do that all over again, and you have no true satisfaction, like a woman that really gets off with you, and I mean, gets off in all the ways you were describing, like mental, physical, emotional, that is a different level of energy. And that's the same thing you would have with your clients. If you're not looking for compliant customers or compliance in your employees, if you're a boss at work, but you want to really build an actual team and like build excitement about whatever it is that you're working towards, you're going to build in loyalty. You're going to build in a true connection with them. They're not going to look for a bigger paycheck necessarily from you. They're going to be excited to go the extra mile for you. And that's kind of what we've kind of lost in this whole shuffle of whatever we're aiming for now. I can't even tell you that we have a similar moral compass around, you know, North America right now, but you know, that's what the temperature needs to come back to.
That's amazing. I'm drinking in everything you're talking about, and it makes so much sense. And I'm drawing several parallels. First of all, yes, this whole country needs to get laid.
Yes.
I mean, we've been bundled up with COVID, a lot of lonely people, a lot of porn consumption, which of course mm-hmm. is phony. I mean, one of the things I'm thinking about is I'm wondering if a gambling addiction and a porn addiction is a corruption of the same exact energy, just in two different forms. You know, mm-hmm. that may be a conversation for a different day. But yeah, I mean, obviously we all need to get laid. I'm never going to look at political Twitter the same way ever again after I've talked to you. I'm just going to laugh and go, boy, these people need to get some.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that wasn't staring me in the face the whole time, but it's absolutely true. The more important point here, Delora, is people who run their businesses well, run their sexual relationships well.
Yes.
People who are deficient in their ability to run a business, hold a job, etc., may possibly be deficient in their ability to satisfy a woman. You know, yes. I'm talking to men here who are heterosexual mostly. But of yes. course, you know, regardless of your gender and your sexual orientation, all of this, you know, it doesn't matter either way, right? It's all the same conversation, correct?
Yeah, absolutely is. Yeah.
So am I right on the money here? Did I read you correctly here? That yeah. There's a correlation between the vibe with which you run your business dealings and the vibe with which you run your sexual dealings.
Yes, absolutely. And if you don't see that it's a direct correlation, it could be that you've mastered one area and then we just leverage that to help the other.
How do we do that? Give me practical steps there.
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. It helps sometimes when it's in a story. So it was a guy that I worked with. He was on his third marriage and he was on his way to losing his third fortune. And he came to me originally because he wanted to have his wife allow him to perform oral sex on her, sit on his face, basically. And I didn't have access to
Thanks
her.
Thanks for I the graphical image. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have access.
Again.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, you know, what you need to do after this show is really okay. So
my wife will be delighted.
When we started working together, he wasn't making any money at the time. He had money though, and he was living off his savings and stuff, but he wanted to bring in more money again. And so I didn't focus on the bedroom. I didn't have direct access to her anyway. And you can only control yourself. You can't control another human. And if you do, then that's a bigger conversation.
Well, that's a very true statement about coaching in general. I can't coach a yeah. third party through someone.
No, sure. Exactly. And I wouldn't even try. So what I could do is focus on him. And I knew that if he started to make money again and unraveled why he kept losing the money, because that was the key thing, then I could help him in the bedroom. Now, he didn't know I was doing this. I just worked on the business part. He made $70,000 in two business meetings, came home, said to his wife, pull down your pants and sit on my face. She pulled down her pants, sat on his face. They had been married 10 years. She had never allowed that before. Had the best orgasms. And she's like, oh my God, like, can you do that again? And he's like, I've been trying for 10 years. So he sends me a message. He goes, what voodoo trick did you just do? But I said, well, how did you show up in those business meetings? You walked in there like you had nothing to lose. You listened to what they needed. You offered a solution to what they had to offer, something that they had never considered before, gave you $70,000. Then you walked in with that same confidence. She wasn't going to say no to you. That's the same thing.
Is it dominant confidence you're talking
about? It is. Yeah, it's self-worth is really what it boils down to. It's just that a lot of people that I work with think they're confident, think that they have self-worth figured out, but they actually don't. So it's, you know, the people that keep losing money or keep losing relationships, there's a self-worth issue at the core, but you might not recognize it as that because most of us, you know, that's not something that most of us get talked about or what is that and what do you do with it? You know, it's kind of like a foreign concept. So I just approach it at, you know, what is working, what isn't, and then let me help you find ways to build the confidence outside of the bedroom if that's you know, where you need to go. Or sometimes it's in reverse. For women, I often get them to build the confidence in the bedroom, and then they go out. It works in business for them.
Or maybe at the top of the coffee shop.
Top of the coffee shop. Like, I need to go find a top of the coffee shop now, honestly. Maybe not in Canada.
You know, my wife and I on our honeymoon in Italy screwed each other's brains out on the roof of the hotel. We thought we were so naughty.
That's probably what most Italians do, I hear.
Until a couple of days later when we found a co-ed family bathroom in the Vatican.
Oh.
That was even naughtier.
That is naughtier. I love it.
Who's had sex at the Vatican before? I mean, you know, when you play the game Two Truths and One Lie, you know, like you do as a icebreaker when you're in groups, I should use that one.
That's a great one.
Unless it's a church group, that I'll find another couple of them.
Well.
More family-friendly ones.
Actually, I would even say that a lot of church people sometimes need to admit that they need more sex. And that's okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to deny that statement. I think that's probably pretty real. All right. So let me ask you one practical question. Let's say a guy gets a woman naked. Let's say a guy gets a woman naked in the bedroom.
Yes.
And she has the most appetizing vagina of all time.
Mm.
And he just can't wait to bury his face in that ass.
Right.
And she goes, wait a minute, that does nothing for me. Don't do that. Obviously, you're not going to do something she didn't consent to.
Right.
But what's up with that?
Well, that is a lot of times it's her own self-judgment. It's what she thinks about her body. She probably worried about smell. She probably can't let go of control to give into the sensation of that. It's probably a woman that, you know, is switched on and in control all the time. So you're going to have to, you know, I wouldn't go directly for it. Go feast other places and then come back to that, or work at it, you know, in different ways, like fingers, use fingers and other things. Don't go directly for it. And, you know, you can also have a conversation, not in that moment, obviously, but afterwards, get her to tell you why it is that she's not comfortable with that, and listen to the words that she's using. She'll tell you things without realizing she is. You have to be kind of perceptive in the kinds of things she's telling you. But it's never happened. It's never worked for me before. That was true for me, honestly, until about 5 years ago, maybe. And then the first time I was like, what have I been missing? But it's just, for a woman, we have not been taught to appreciate our bodies and every pleasure that we can get from it. I mean, there's at least 7 different ways a woman can orgasm, for goodness sakes. And I would even say I can give you more than 7. I've tested them out, but not all women know that. And so to have a man, and first, the other thing that goes through our head, some women's head, most of them that I've interviewed about this, is, well, I'm worried it's going to take too long, or they're natural givers. So they want to give the pleasure. Receiving is so hard for women. So a lot of it has to do with that. So if a man is really in his masculine energy and like really confident and knows what he's doing, he can usually get her to let go of control enough that he can work up to that, but I wouldn't go directly for it.
I think that's a fantastic answer all around. It also serves as a reminder that everything you're talking about really isn't gender specific. Women can kind of corrupt their sexual energy and let work get in the way. And there's that interaction between these ostensibly different kinds of energies that are actually interrelated, whether you're man, woman, gay or straight or otherwise. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Her name is Deloria Guignon, and she is the head honcha over at Mind Sex Mastery. How do you say honcho in French?
I don't even know. That's a great
question.
Maybe
there's not a corollary, is there?
No, I don't know what there is.
She is the CEO, the leader, the founder, etc. of Mind Sex Mastery. And when you go to mountaintoppodcast.com/mindsex, MINDSEX, I know you're intrigued, gentlemen. You're going to find out all about Delora and what she's got going on. Thank you so much for a fun, interesting, and actually startlingly original conversation. I really have appreciated this show and enjoyed it immensely. Thank you so much, Delora.
Well, thank you, Scott. This has been a pleasure. And I hope you all listening go have some pleasure.
Yeah, at work and at play.
Yes, please. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And after you're done with all that, guys, obviously priorities, right? be sure to go to mountaintoppodcast.com and get on the phone with me to talk about how 2021 can be your year to get the right woman in your life, how you can take your sexual energy and your manly energy and turn it into a 100% fantastic relationship with the right woman. We can talk about your career. We can talk about adventure. We can talk about up-leveling life in general for you. Go to mountaintoppodcast.com, click on the button that is colored red in the upper right-hand corner. I promise results in advance. Every time you talk to me, you're going to emerge from that conversation with something you can actually use today, right now, something tangible. And while you're there, be sure to visit the guys from heroesoap.com. If you do not have the body wash yet, let me tell you something. If you ever in your entire life would like to take a shower with a female human being, have this stuff on hand. You'll thank me later. That's all I'm going to say on the subject. You can find that and the great soap. Each bar lasts for like a month and it smells great. Doesn't have anything that's going to emasculate you, none of that fake stuff in there. You can go to mountaintoppodcast.com/hero soap and find out all about that. Also be sure to go to mountaintoppodcast.com/origin. And by the way, there are links to both of those guys from mountaintoppodcast.com itself too. But when you go to Origin, check out all the different types of supplements they offer because they're engineered specifically for men, for better health for us. And I'll tell you what, I've been using Jocko's supplements of all various kinds of varieties for over a year now, and I've never felt better. The D3 is all natural and acts as a prophylactic against COVID, if you haven't heard already, guys. So check all that out and more when you go to mountaintoppodcast.com. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X and Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.